Today on City Cast Chicago, a new report calls for increased 911 alternatives, how to avoid a street sweeping ticket, and the Chicago water taxi is back to daily service. But have you ever met someone who has actually ridden on it? Breaking it all down with me is producer Michelle Navarro. It's Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago is Talking About. Morning, Michelle. How you feeling?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How about you?
I am doing very well. I am not complaining after a long weekend of moving. I'm feeling a tad bit rejuvenated, but that might just be the exhaustion and sleep deprivation talking, if I'm being real.
No, I mean, that's definitely part of the moving, but now it's the best part. Like, I just feel like unpacking and actually like settling in your space is the best part and the most rewarding. So
yeah, and I'm big on some interior decorating, man. Mm-hmm. I've been on Pinterest, YouTube, TikTok, everywhere I possibly can get inspiration from for the last few weeks. And so now, over the next however long, I'll kind of start that process. But I'm feeling good today.
Good. I'm glad.
Over the last few years, we've had a lot of conversations on the podcast about the effectiveness of 911 calls. And a new report found that most 911 calls Chicago residents made in the year 2022 were for car accidents, mental or physical health issues, or noise complaints, and not shots fired, abuse or assault or other violent occurrences, which if you watch most news nowadays, you would assume that makes up the majority of Chicago's 911 calls. Experts suggest the need for more alternative policing programs and more support to those that already exist to assist the needs in Chicago. Michelle, just how many calls did this report look through and did they just come to this conclusion in Chicago?
Yeah, so the report, which was called Alternatives to Policing, How U.S. Cities Are Advancing Community Safety by Taking a Multidisciplinary Approach, it looked at 4 million calls, 4 million 911 calls in the year 2022, like you said. Most of the calls studied were unrelated to urgent safety needs. 4% of the calls across the 8 cities, which were studied, one being Chicago, were classified by the FBI as violent offenses / gunshots. That's what we kind of think about when we think about violent offenses. So again, right, that's only 4%. 36% of the calls, which is about 1.4 million of those calls, were focused on low level or health related incidents. And then these can mean like traffic, parking issues, car accidents, and noise complaints, which could be music, right? Or barking dogs, fireworks, etc. Mm-hmm. And so those, all these issues are kind of put in together. The report was done by Communities United Chicago, a survivor-led racial justice organization, along with 3 other organizations. Looking at the Chicago analysis, about over 1 million calls, 2.3% of the calls were shots fired, assault, and robbery. More than 53% of the calls focused on low-level health-related incidents, such as traffic or parking issues, car accidents, mental or physical health issues, or some kind of loud noise or similar kind of disturbances. And so you could kind of see, you know, there's a wide range, right? Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like people really call 911 for a broad reasons. Some, of course, way more severe than others, right? Like a music complaint, not that severe.
Right. The fact that the same, like, if you get into a car accident, if your neighbor is too loud or the barking is too loud, or if your car is stolen or someone breaks into your home, the fact that you call the exact same number, and let's just be real, 99% of the time, if they show up in a timely manner, they're arriving to the situation in the same way. And I don't mean that behaviorally necessary. I mean, they're coming to the situation with their guns, with their squad cars. And one of the big takeaways from this report and the people they talked to was it is extremely overwhelming and alarming to call the police, for example, in one story, because your son is suffering from a moment of anxiety in which, you know, they are, I believe they sort of showed up at the church where their mother was, and they were acting a bit erratic as they were trying to deal with their anxiety. And the mother called hoping that someone would come to help calm them down because they didn't want anything sort of worse to happen to their safety. And they were like, well, the police pulled up with 6 cars. Everyone was strapped. They pinned her son down. And this was sort of a non emergency situation. Mm-hmm. And yet what ended up happening was sort of a quick escalation of violence because, let's just be real, y'all, that's what they are trained to do. Sure, there's, you know, sort of de-escalation training and how do we look at things circumstantially, but at the end of the day, they are trained on how to use force. And this report really is trying to get this conversation moving even faster because, like we said, in Chicago, we've been talking about how do we invest in sending not just police officers, but mental health specialists and potentially some sort of social advocacy groups along with officers. How do we send medical practitioners? How do we send psychologists and mental health therapists on some of these calls? How do we get nonviolent community members to respond to things like traffic stops? And we really got to get serious on thinking like big picture alternatively, because again, on face value reading this, it makes no sense that the same armed officer who would respond to a mass casualty shooting is also responding to, oh, my neighbors was playing Like That from Metro Future and KDOT too loud last night.
Yeah, I mean, there's just like a spectrum of issues that require different levels of support, different levels of, like you mentioned, force. Some may not even need a speck of force at all.
And according to the data in this report, more calls than not don't need that level of force or any force at all.
Exactly. I think about the story you said about, you know, we hear a lot about people who come with across mental health issues, which sometimes their loved ones just want, you know, to make sure that they're in control of the situation. And it's not fair for people to ask for help and then not get the help that they actually need and sometimes make the situations, you know, more difficult. And, you know, the report identified non-police emergency response teams, right? Like other ways, violence intervention programs, like you mentioned, community people that can come into the spot and kind of just like help aid the situation. And there is alternatives in Chicago, including the Crisis Assistance Response and Engagement or CARE, a program that, you know, helps behavioral health professionals respond to mental health crises, and then the Service Coordination and Navigation, or SCAN, to reduce youth involvement in violence, and a plan to create, you know, the city's first sobering center. And so there's a lot of things that can really aid the situation. And so it's really interesting to see when reports come out that we actually look at, you know, what's being reported and how can the city, again, meet the needs of the residents? Because it seems like we need a lot more people with a lot more different training because there's just so many different circumstances.
And Mayor Brandon Johnson has spoke on wanting to invest in programs like CARE, wanting to beef up non-police alternatives. And we're really going to see how he can get that move through city council. How can he get that agenda picked up? Because we know there's a contingent of city council members who are not interested in, you know, not to sound punny, but handcuffing the police, putting more restrictions, taking more power away from them. But even if you are sort of selling this to police as sort of in their interest, is this not in your interest to be doing less? You are doing more than you should be. Everyone agrees, including you, including the people who despise the institution. Like, this should be a simpler process. But I also understand, right, that if we were just going to take some of those calls and like put them on 311, for example, we recently had a conversation with the Inspector General, Deborah Witzberg, who, you know, said, you know, pump the brakes there. Just as 911 needs more alternatives, needs us to think thoroughly about how we bring people not only to the service, but get them the help they need. We need to be doing the same thing with 311. So it's really important that Chicago looks at these helplines, these emergency lines, these informational lines, and find out where can we identify inefficiencies and clean those up. In yesterday's Guide to April, it feels like we kind of left out one of Chicago's most annoying seasonal changes. Yeah, I'm talking about street sweeping season. Say that six times fast. Street sweeping season, 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 street sweeping season. I'm a professional. I get paid to do tongue twisters. I know it helps keep the street clean, right? I know this, but the parking restrictions can be a lot to manage. So we've got your yearly reminder right here, my friends.
Street sweepers cover the city's blocks April through at least mid-November, cleaning them of leaves, litter, and debris, according to the Department of Streets and Sanitation's news release.
So folks with cars should check their blocks for signs that say when there will be temporary parking restrictions for sweeping. The signs usually get posted 2 days before street sweepers come through. I'm trying to think, over on 51st of Dorchester, I think we started seeing them like Friday for Monday. And so we had a bit of a time. But some blocks have permanent signs. They'll tell you, we here on Mondays, we here on Tuesdays, we here on Wednesdays. Pack your shit up, move.
Residents can also view street sweeping schedules online or call 311 for the schedule.
Boy, 311 be humping. It really be working. You got a rat outside, a pothole. You need to know the street sweeping schedule, the sweet sweeping strabble. But if you forget to move your car, as it typically happens a lot, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get a $60 ticket. And I'm sorry to tell you that, but they'll keep giving it to you every month too.
Our newsletter editor, Sydney Madden, has a tip for you. Don't try to outsmart the sweeper. There's always someone who waits and swears they'll move her car by 9 a.m. Just move it the night before and save yourself the heartache and the money. In today's newsletter, you can read Sid's guide to parking. Check it out at chicago.citycast.fm.
Obviously, I did not listen to the tip because I trusted myself. I got up. Well, I didn't get up. Somebody woke me up this morning. Taylor woke me up this morning. And I got out to move the car around 8:50 or so. Took me a while to find some parking, but I did notice just how many clear street sweeper signs were in my neighborhood. So I can't really pretend like I did not see them. But by the time I went back out around 11 o'clock, tickets, they had already started getting people. They are not hesitating. They do not care. They want your $60.
They want your money. They want your money.
And it's usually, it's always funny because it's usually like an entire block empty and it's just like three cars sporadically spread out. But you know, if maybe that's the cost of doing business for some folks. If they can afford it and they don't feel like moving their car, they're gonna eat the little $60. Not high. I ain't got it like that.
No, we don't really drive much. I mean, I know I don't drive at all.
I've had a car just for moving, and so I'm finna give it back. I don't want it. Okay. No more.
Yeah, it's just I feel like I've been able to get away with avoiding all parking, City of Chicago tickets, and I've always blamed my parents for like not pressuring me to drive more. But every time my dad says, "You don't know how much money I've saved you," and he's kind of
he's kind of right. Like you can add up the ride shares and the public transit.
Of course.
And, you know, also what does it cost to be inconvenienced if you want to go to like the grocery store without waiting for nobody and just move the car? Like I can't really put a price tag on that. But most of the people I talk to who own a car are like, I don't use it enough, or the insurance is too much, or gas is crazy.
City sticker, registration.
And I drove for years in Chicago every single day, around Cook County, around Illinois for work. And the worst part about parking in Chicago is finding parking in Chicago. Right? It's not only finding it, but making sure. Like right now on my block, G, you can't park there unless you got a permit. Even if you got a permit, you can't park there from 9 to 11 a.m. And then you also got the street sweeping going on, which means if you want to park on our street, you got to get up every day and move the car for 2 hours. Like that is just ridiculous to me. All of the signage, I know it's not like just Chicago or anything like that, but the inconvenience, like unless I have a garage, a covered spot, a guaranteed spot, That extra bit of money on top just doesn't seem worth it to me. Like when you ask the people in your life who are always driving what they hate the most about it, what is their common answer?
Yeah, it's always parking. Yeah. Showing up to a place that you don't really, maybe it's new and you're like, okay, I gotta, you know, spin the block a couple times to figure out where to park, or, you know, just or trying to keep up with the meter, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, that's something that I constantly hear, you know, my friends who drive a lot always complain about. Even people who drive, sometimes they're like, should we just Uber? Because I don't want to come back late and have to find another spot because I know it's going to be taken up.
I had to go at least 5 blocks in every direction before I just settled on paying for parking this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you are like me and you drive sometimes, you like Michelle, you don't really drive at all, or you drive every single day, we want to know what is the worst part about parking in Chicago. Let us know your thoughts at the link in the show notes. Speaking of transportation, if you don't want to drive, you got more options in Chicago because this past weekend, the water taxi service began running every day for the first time since 2019. Now, for the immediate future, it's only going to be making three stops: the Ogilvie Transportation Center in Union Station, Streeterville, and Chinatown. Right now, no scheduled service to stops that are Chicago Avenue and Goose Island. You might remember those before the pandemic. Michelle, according to the folks over at the water taxi, how big of a deal is this?
Yeah, so they're really trying to serve commuters and tourists this summer after previous years of kind of just catering to tourists because they were struggling with such a low number of office commuters. You know, as we all know, pandemic and post-pandemic, a lot of people have kind of not really been in the downtown office buildings as it once was like, you know, before the pandemic. And so because of that, they kind of canceled the daily service because they just felt like there was no need. Mm-hmm. But it was mostly just focused on weekend service. Still, again, of course, not at the same rate as it was, you know, back in 2019. They're looking at, you know, ahead, of course, this summer, we're going to have the NASCAR Chicago Street Race, the Democratic National Convention. And so they're looking for a potential boost in ridership from tourists. And, you know, tourism has seemed to come back strong. According to Choose Chicago, the demand for hotel rooms have really boosted. It's almost reached like 91%. Again, looking at 2019 rates, there will also be rush hour service, which will focus on stops that serve the two metro hubs, the train stations, and between peak period services, which will run to Chinatown. The water taxi is also offering commuter passes and partnerships with downtown office buildings. And so if you're someone who, you know, this looks like a good idea to take a water taxi to when you're making your office commute to the city or to downtown, you can definitely look into that.
Yeah, see if your employer will pay for it.
Right. And try to get subsidized tickets because, you know, you could definitely save a couple of bucks. And so as of now, the regular scheduled service is to run until the end of November. So you got a long time to check out a water taxi if you're into that. One-way tickets are $6, which I was pleasantly surprised. I think that's very affordable for a one-way. And you get a little boat ride out of it, which is kind of cool. An all-day is $10, and a weekend pass is $25. And so there's definitely different options. I think it's such a cool alternative, you know, to kind of, instead of like taking the CTA or taking a bus or a rideshare or just driving. And so, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to this. I've never ridden a water taxi in Chicago before. Have you?
I was going to ask you that because we've covered this, you know, time and time again when the weekend service came back. Now, obviously, with daily service coming back. But off the top of my head, not only have I never ridden it, but I can't really think of anybody who has. I want to say Axios reporter / former city cast of Carrie Shepherd. I feel like she was somebody who put me on the water taxi because I've seen them in my life, but I never got on one. I did not know the pricing structure. I didn't even realize it was a water taxi. I thought it was just sort of like a taxi themed riverboat cruise.
Right.
Like riverboat
little tour. Right.
Yeah, I didn't know it was this practical. And so this might be the year that I get on one. I'm not too far from the Chinatown stop. And so this might be the year of the water taxi for me. What I'm also realizing is street sweeping season and water taxi season kind of got a bit of a overlap to them. And so, yeah. Like that.
It's a nice alternative. Again, like if you're going into downtown, if you're going into, I think specifically downtown, you know, if you're going into downtown where parking can be a little, like your options are very much move your car every 2 hours, or you're going to have to pay what, $25 or more for day parking. It is a great alternative. I also don't know anybody who has taken a water taxi in the city. But it's something common in a lot of cities. Like in New York, people take the ferries very normal and very common to take a ferry. There is a culture of taking boats other places. I think we should definitely do that more because how often do you get to ride on the river? I don't get to ride on the river very often unless I have friends in town who like want to take the boat tour. But this is just such a like nice alternative to just, you know. And yeah, I also totally see myself taking the one from Chinatown because it's right off on Ping Tom Park. So it's a close commute to me and you get to walk in the park and hop on a boat. It sounds so like luxurious. So I'm kind of excited.
Obviously, Michelle and I don't need much convincing, but if there are people who are listening who have also never been on or seen anyone on a water taxi, and you have been and you want to sort of let them know your experience, reach out to us at 773-780-0246. Leave your name, your neighborhood, and your water taxi experience. I want to give a huge shout out to our audio producer, Michelle Navarro.
Thanks, Jacoby.
No, thank you for making time, my friend. I appreciate you so much. Before we let you go, stay tapped into all CityCast Chicago has to offer by bookmarking our website, chicago.citycast.fm. While you're there, you'll see you can catch up on old podcast episodes, look at our neighborhood guide, Chicago Life Hacks, and, of course, subscribe to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago. We've mentioned it multiple times in this episode because it's that damn good. Now, I know why you stuck around. Some good news. The Chicago Latino Theater Alliance announces its first ever Latin Theater Artist Week. It's going on all week with events and workshops dedicated to independent Latin theater professionals across the city. Now, admission is free to all the events, but you gotta register online as space is limited, so check the show notes for more info. As always, we appreciate you for listening and reading. We're gonna be back bright and early tomorrow morning. Hopefully you'll join us. Peace.
So sweet sweepers cover the city's blocks.
What? What'd you just say? Sweet sweepers? Sweet streepers? Sweet streepers?
English was my second language, Jacoby. So
you funny as hell, dog. That's how you do it.